The first question, and I'm reading from the Etherpad here, is there a scope for integrating the C library into Emacs itself with MooPDF becoming an optional dependency?
Right. So integrating the C library into Emacs itself is like having MooPDF inside Emacs source tree. I don't think Emacs devs would be inclined to do that, and I don't think we really need it. I think as it is, Emacs with DocView needs MooTool, which is something you need to install from MooPDF anyways. So I think it is almost expected that you install MooPDF from System Package Manager. And I think that as it is better because we don't really need to have a whole PDF engine inside Emacs.
Thanks. Next question, also from the pad. The dynamic modules sound great, and it's amazing that they've been there since 2017. Why do you think they've been so slow to get adopted? Is there prior art with them?
Right, that's a good question, actually. I think one of the reasons is that most of the time, I think people love Emacs because they can do so much with ELISP. I think certainly there is a bias towards trying to do things with ELISP. I think there's only a sort of specific class of problems that you can solve with dynamic modules, such as this, where you want to use a native library to do something in a fast or better way. I use that quite a lot. There's, of course, libvterm, which uses a dynamic module, and it does it really well. And I think there is another one, a plotting library or package in Emacs that was using something from Python. So dynamic modules are good, but I think they don't really come to the surface level packages, your day-to-day packages, because most of the day-to-day packages that we use in Emacs can be done with ELISP. So unless you really need something system level efficient, most of the time you don't want to write C or C++ or something. But there is actually a really nice Rust crate for native modules, and there's a really nice Haskell package. So there's actually really good support for multiple languages. So it's there, it's just not used as much. Yeah.
So what you're saying is if ELISP weren't so simple to learn and easy to use and so fully featured, we'd get a lot more mileage out of this super cool dynamic module feature.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll bring in the next question. How difficult is our PDF tools to install? The questioner is installing it using the built-in package manager. Looking at the Emacs Reader installation instructions, it doesn't necessarily cover how to install that easily. Person is not using use package or straight.
Okay.
Oh, and they say that you did kind of touch on this in the presentation.
Okay, so you want me to skip that or should I answer?
It's your choice. If you would like to say more.
Yeah. I think just as a thing, the reason I said PDF tools is difficult is PDF tools has a huge list of dependencies. The only thing Emacs Reader depends on is MooPDF, nothing else. There's a single dependency. PDF tools depends on a lot of things, and they have their own server, which is packaged as a system package, which you don't really find everywhere. And there's like systems, GNU Linux systems, where the package is very difficult to build. Because of so many dependencies. So my goal was to sort of reduce the number of dependencies. Right now it's icky to install Emacs Reader. Once we go to GNU Elpa, it's just going to be MX package install, just that.
Nice.
Right now you have to do package VC a bit, but yeah.
We get spoiled as Emacs users. Everything just gets so easy for us. It's like an IDE for our whole machine. What tools did you use to measure the memory usage between the three packages?
Yeah, that's a good question. So during my development, I used mostly for debugging purposes Valgrind. So Valgrind is a set of suite of debugging tools, and one of the tools that it has is massive. It's a heap analyzer, heap profiler. So Valgrind plus massive, and then there's a KDE package called Massive Visualizer. So I first get the massive output using Valgrind, and then put that output into Massive Visualizer and gives me the graphs.
Are there Emacs integrations for those components at all? Does Valgrind have
I don't think so. I don't think so. There's I think a few packages which do something with massive, but I don't think like they're maintained. Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. Awesome opportunity there for someone spunky. How is conversion between ELISP and foreign language type systems done? For example, when interfacing with a C++ library that makes heavy use of the C++ object system and templates?
Yeah, that's a good question. The go-to answer is the blog post that I wrote, which is an extensive explanation on how the internals of dynamic modules work. The short answer is that basically what happens is anything that is compatible with C ABI, when you compile that language's code, so when I compile C++ code, I would have a particular API. So we have a dynamic module API, which is the Emacs module.h, the file that I showed. You have to put that into your C++ package program and then link it through. So Emacs module.h is basically going to like use things in your Emacs installation to interact with this C++ language. So it's basically FFI. And what this gives you is that you can have things in C++. So let's say you want to do multi-threading the way I did system level multi-threading. You can have C++ be responsible for the multi-threading, but you want the output of the multi-threading to go into Emacs. So then you write like a piece of C++ function, which is going to be a dynamic module function. A dynamic module function is written in the language that you target, that is C++ or C or Rust. And then that is going to be compiled into a shared library, like a SO, shared object. And then that shared object is going to be loaded into Emacs system using require. So when I do require render core in one of the slides that I showed, I'm basically loading that shared object, and that shared object already has the compiled dynamic module functions and so on. But my blog will explain that better.
Gotcha. Yeah, I thought that was pretty clear. I'm looking forward to seeing it, that blog post, and understanding what I glossed over, trying to understand it from that explanation. That was great. Can one look at PDF metadata with Emacs Reader? Can you do annotations? Does it understand forms? Can it handle encrypted PDFs? In other words, this, I think reading between the lines, wow, this is awesome. Is there anything I can't do?
You're right. So Emacs Reader will be able to do all of those things. It can do annotations, it will be able to do forms, and we have an issue open for encrypted PDFs. The thing is, right now we are struggling with making Emacs Reader be very efficient in terms of highlighting and text selection because of the challenges that I mentioned in the slides. So it will be able to do all of that once we tackle the basic features down in an efficient manner. Yeah.
Gotcha. Questioner says, I installed Emacs Reader already as promised. Great job. How can I associate ODT files to open with Emacs Reader?
You don't really need to do anything. You should be just able to do find file, control X, control F, and open, and it should open with Emacs Reader because we have an auto mode list, a list that takes an ODT file and opens it with reader mode. So you should just be able to do find file. If you're not able to do that, you should open a bug report.
And I'll just mention, we've got about 10 minutes left of our live Q&A, but if you're watching the stream, it's possible that we'll just keep going. The questions just keep coming, which I just love that. So feel free to join the BBB link that should have shown in the IRC chat. Jump in and we can take questions as long as Divya has steam for that. If a PDF file is open in Emacs Reader and I reintegrate the PDF with some changes, does Emacs Reader refresh the PDF on its own or do I reload it?
Right, that's also a really good question. So one answer is that it depends on how you change the PDF. So for example, if I just replaced the PDF with something else of the same name, Emacs Reader will update it immediately. If you have auto revert mode on, it'll just revert the buffer and it'll reload the PDF really nicely. But if you're doing it something like LaTeX, where you're writing something in LaTeX and LaTeX is continuously producing the PDF, that needs SyncTeX integration, because LaTeX, while it's producing the PDF, it does a lot of funky things. It does not provide a sort of renderable PDF all the time. So Emacs will sort of crash trying to basically render a PDF that is not ready yet. So we need SyncTeX to sync with LaTeX to do that really nice.
Okay, so we have to do some care and feeding of the exact timing if we have more of a continuous development cycle that's happening behind the curtain, so to speak. That makes a lot of sense to me. What are the challenges with integrating SyncTeX and AuthTeX? This would be great to see as PDF handles this well, or PDF tools handles this well.
Yeah. So we have SyncTeX and AuthTeX planned. I don't really see any major obstacles for doing that, to be very honest. I think we can do it in a much simpler way than PDF tools does. The only reason we haven't done it yet is because, again, we have a more important highlighting and text selection and those features planned, but it's anticipated. Yeah.
All right, this next question is a sneaky comment, but I'm going to read it like a question anyway because I wholeheartedly approve of this. I love your presentation. Will you be giving another talk on the architecture you went over? A deep dive on that would be awesome.
I'm not sure if an Emacs Conf talk will be appropriate for this, but I do stream bi-weekly, so you're always welcomed to come on my stream and ask, and I would be very happy to go deep into this.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to catching that myself. Thank you for the shout. Is there search functionality, something like iSearch in Occur?
We don't really have it, but this is the most immediate feature after we have text selection. So once we have text selection, once we're able to select the text, then we can have iSearch so that it can highlight the text.
All right. And then I'll read out this question and then I have to do a little bookkeeping on the pad. Does the dynamic module prevent customization that Emacs usually provides, advice, hooks, et cetera, or does everything just kind of work?
No, if you have a dynamic module, it doesn't limit you into doing anything. You can do everything on the ELSP side that you want, and you only take care of certain things on the dynamic module side. If you're asking whether you can do advices, hooks, and all of that on the dynamic module itself, from the dynamic module itself, that's a bit tricky, because something like calling a macro or doing macros in dynamic modules is not really that nice. You have to pretty much manually expand the macro yourself in the dynamic module. So if you want to do it from the dynamic module, there's not much support right now, but you can do everything on the ELSP side without touching the dynamic module.
Got it. So those are the questions that I see. I'm just going to take a quick peek, but let me invite you if you wanted to. We've got just about 5 minutes left, and I will get carried away sometimes and fail to make this invitation before we cut away live, especially if we do keep going a bit. I want to make sure you get a chance to just throw in any closing thoughts that you have live onto the stream. Of course, you don't have to do that. You said a lot in your presentation.
No, I think mostly that's fine. I'm just really happy that people are interested in the package, and I would be glad to have contributors and reviewers or anything. That would be nice.
Awesome. So here comes one more question, or actually a couple more questions coming in. Following up on dynamic modules, do you usually create an ELISP shim from foreign function interface and then use them with ELISP code?
Yeah, so basically how you do is you write, let's say I have a C function that I've written in the dynamic module. It's a dynamic module function. And then when I'm trying to call the dynamic module function, most of the time I don't call it like that. I wrap it inside a proper ELISP function and then call that ELISP function. So that's how I think it's better to do that, because you can take care of certain cases on when you want the dynamic module function to be called. Maybe sometimes you don't want the dynamic function module function to be called immediately. So it's better to wrap it. Yeah.
Okay. So timing issues.
Yeah.
For the purposes of managing timing issues, that ELISP shim is preferred.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So question here is searching for a roadmap. Is that already available as a feature?
Searching is on the roadmap. It is not available yet as a feature, but it's on priority.
Yes. I think you may have touched on that. Sorry if I failed to connect the dot there. Those are the questions that I see. We've got just a couple of minutes. I'm not sure if you have more you wanted to say, but I have to say how much I appreciate your talk, especially you're jumping in live with us and just taking everything on the fly. I think this is a big part of what adds the energy, you in particular, just really dynamic speaker. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed it as well.
Person is, and I think this may have been touched on already, but let's maybe get into it more specifically. We've said that search is kind of a next up type of feature as the current iteration stabilizes. Question was, you know, a cur, like, how would you?
Totally. There will be a cur searches. There will be iSearch, enabled iSearch. Used to with PDF tools, we would be like parity with the features, all the features that you're used to with PDF tools. Certainly occur anything that is important in Emacs with text and that can be done with PDFs. We really want to do that because I want the package to be as knitted into Emacs ecosystem as possible.
Okay, we'll see if we can get in this last question here. Do you have a timing expectation for ELPA?
Next major release, essentially. So next major release is most likely going to be within a month or two. So once we have the next major release, we're going to be in ELPA.
Timing couldn't be more perfect. Maybe this is a good point to break. We'll be cutting away to the next talk in just a couple of minutes. So let me say one more time how much, on behalf of all the attendees and all the volunteers and everybody, how much we appreciate your talk and your awesome contribution to the Emacs world.
Thanks, Corbin. Thanks.